Abraham Lincoln is given credit for these words. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So, I'm going to go back to the chain just as a visual for you. Okay. And so this represents you, the spiritual journey that you're on. It's the weak, the strong links of your life. And the paper got messed up a little bit. So we will ignore that. And if I get off the rope, it'll be easier to secure this. So there you go. So this is your spiritual journey, the weak links, the strong links of your life, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that the chain is made up of links, and if you just look at that, it's you'd say it's a pretty strong chain, right? But yet none of us have Superman eyes. We can't look at that chain and go, oh no, that link right up there, that's the weak spot. We can't do that. And in the Christian walk, the journey that we're on, there are things that the Holy Spirit will bring to us, either in Scripture, conversation, in messages, Sunday morning, a Sunday school class, a Bible study. The Holy Spirit will say, hey, this is a weak link. Why don't you work on this? Let's work on this. Last Sunday, we brought you a message on your devotional life, the importance of reading Scripture, the importance of prayer, conversation with each other. Accountability happens in that realm. Now this morning we're going to talk about another aspect of that spiritual journey. The tongue. How many of you have a tongue? Some of you will pray for you. But anyway, we know that we all have a tongue, right? Words, I think we would all agree that words are an amazingly powerful collection of vowels and consonants. Words. It's how we communicate. It's amazing how powerful those words can be. We can use them to encourage each other. Pat somebody on the back. Give them an encouraging word. Thank them for something. Say something kind to them. We can certainly build each other up. Motivating people. You can motivate somebody. You can motivate your children. Or you have in the past motivated your children with words. We can also use them to tear down somebody. Have you ever been hurt by somebody's words? And they could just be inadvertent words that maybe they didn't mean that way, but yet you heard them that way. And so words are extremely, extremely powerful. We can destroy people with them. We can love people with them. Words are important to us as humans, as individuals, and they are so important to us that God gives us instruction about the words that we say, the words that we use just in everyday conversation. So, you've probably heard it said 100 times, maybe not that many, but there is a difference between men and women when it comes to conversation. I found a study that was performed by a woman. Okay, so take to heart what I'm saying. This is a woman, so it's good. It's true. The University of California did a study. She did a study on the difference of conversation. Now, this is an average, and we know that there are quiet men and there are quiet women and there are talkative men and there are talkative women. But an average in her study that she did, typically in a day, a woman will say 20,000 words. A man will speak 7,000 words. So as I read that, I thought, wow, could this mean that we men don't speak in complete sentences? That could be. Or is it that for men, when we simply say, yes, dear, that's more than 100 words? Think about it. Yes, dear. That's all you need to say is, yes, dear. Don't carry it any farther. You'll get in trouble. Well, Matthew chapter 12 tells us that God keeps the record of our words. Wow, we live in a day of phones and computer stuff that will record conversations, your emails and your texts and all that stuff. It's in somebody's server somewhere. But just think about this, that in Scripture tells us that God keeps track, He keeps record of our words. He doesn't care if there are a few, or He doesn't care if there are many. His computer system in heaven, we'll just call it that, is powerful enough to keep track of all of your words. And that passage of Scripture in Matthew 12 says your misguided or careless words. So whether we say that your words are many or just a few, I will throw us all in this basket and say that at some time in a day or a week, we struggle with controlling our tongues. Now, that's a bold statement, but I do believe that God gives us Scripture and He speaks to us so often throughout the book of Proverbs, the book of Wisdom, and Jesus' teachings and Paul's writings and other writings of the New Testament. Words are important. Listen to Proverbs 10, verse 19. Where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Okay, so if you're a talker, I would pay attention to this. For the writer of Proverbs, the book of Wisdom, tells us that where words are many, sin is not absent. So if you're a talker, I would be very careful about the words that you speak. Don't fall into the truth of Proverbs 10:19. So if you're a talker, be careful. A couple of weeks ago, our Wednesday evening Bible study we are still studying the book of James. And in the third chapter of that book, that letter, James gives us three great truths about our tongue, your tongue, my tongue. He tells us that the tongue is powerful. He tells us that the tongue is dangerous. And he tells us that the tongue is revealing. So the powerfulness of your tongue. James gives the example of a horse with a bit in its mouth can be controlled. He also gives the example, the word picture of the rudder on a ship or on a boat. And that is true for us in life. Our tongue, the words that we speak, control us in our day. It controls us in our attitudes. Your tongue is a very powerful instrument that God has given to each of us. We would also agree and say that James is correct when he warns us and tells us that the tongue is dangerous. James in his writing then says that it's like a spark that creates a forest fire. For I would guess that, again, that you have been, I have been a part of conversations where just a little spark, a little word from somebody's mouth, maybe your mouth, created a whole firestorm, destroying of a relationship in a dangerous way. Damage caused by fire takes time to repair, or it will destroy completely. Be careful. Your tongue is powerful, and it is dangerous. It can and will destroy. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be just simple words will destroy. James would also tell us, and I'll tell you today, that the tongue is small and revealing. James chapter 3, verse 9. James says that we can praise God with our tongue, and we've done that this morning. But let something wrong go wrong in your day, and you may find yourself cursing somebody. Maybe not using curse words, but words of hate. So out of our mouths come praise to God, and we can curse men. Jesus said, out of the tongue, the mouth or the tongue speaks. Being Christ-like is surrendering my will to God's will. the speaking and the reading this morning of sanctification. That's a yielding of my will to God's will. And letting that be a piece of every day that I am alive. It's a piece of my devotional life where I read Scripture and say, God, what is it you want to say to me? And then we stop and we listen and let it speak to us. And then we surrender that to God and we grow in our discipline of discipleship. It's a discipline. Choosing the right words is one of life's greatest disciplines. Choosing the right words is one of life's greatest disciplines. This week I had a friend in my office, a friend from the community. He had sent me a text, are you available? I said, yep, I'm available. He said, I'll swing by the church. So he came by, and all he wanted to do was run by me a conversation that he had the previous day, and he just said, did I say too much? Did I say too much? And I said, from my point of view, yeah, you probably said too much. Words, you know what? It's amazing. You engage your brain and it's amazing how quickly the words come out. Controlling your tongue, letting God control your conversations, letting God control what you say, the words that you speak. It's an amazing, powerful discipline and probably a very difficult discipline. That's why God spends so much time in His Word, the book of Proverbs, and again, writings of Jesus' words, New Testament, about the discipline that we need to have Him controlling our tongues. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Do you realize that? Your words, life and death. Again, going to encouragement. And I will say when the book of Proverbs, that writer says life and death, spiritual death, death in relationships and doing a marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling for couples wanting to get married, we spend a whole evening just on words, communicating. Words to say, words not to say. And it is amazing to see young couples surprised to really realize, maybe for the first time or hear it again, the power of a conversation. The words that you say, the tongue has the power of life and death. That little pink thing in your mouth, just think about it. Life and death. You can give life to a relationship. I love you. Oh, that's a powerful statement. One thing that a couple, people in love with each other, should never say to each other is, I don't love you. That's a death sentence to a love relationship. Well, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And maybe in your devotional life, you could do what a lot of people do, and that's read a proverb a day. And just pick up on this one thought about your tongue and the words that you say. Our words can cause pain, reckless without thought, quick responses. Somebody says something to you, and maybe it was a sharp word, and your response would be right back. You bite me, I'm going to bite you back harder. No, Scripture would tell us, sit on it, wait, be quiet, let your words be few. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words spoken to a child versus harsh words. We have grandchildren. We raised four girls. And this speaks to me because in our family, it's if something were to happen to one of the girls, I guess this should be honest. I would often say, get up, walk it off. Okay? Sometimes that worked and sometimes it didn't. All right? But I think about the power in my tongue, the power of words spoken that the book of Proverbs gives to us. How much better would it have been if I had just bent over and said, oh, honey, you know, let Daddy hold you. Or when I fall, it's nice when Cynthia says, hey, honey, can I hold you? That never happens. Anyway, the thought is there. But just think about the power of your words in a simple thing like that. Somebody falls down, and haven't you ever been asked the question, somebody falls down, what's your response? Do you laugh or do you go help? And surprising for many people, when they see something like that happen, their first response is to laugh. No. The power of words, the power of our actions. When you see something happening, what's your first response? The power of your words. Proverbs 8:18, and I'm putting a lot of scripture at you, and maybe I hope you're writing some of these down and reference them later. But Proverbs 18:8, our words have great influence on our attitudes about others. Boy, I go back to the Salvation Army and Booth and the one-word telegram supposedly that he sent out in the late 1800s that revitalized the Salvation Army as they were struggling with the focus of ministry. And he just sent out a one-word telegraph to all of the Salvation Army people around the world. It's just one word, others. Others. When we speak, when you speak, when I speak, do I think about others? Do I think about those that are listening? Your conversation, my conversation, is a great doorway. It's a window into our heart about what we think of others. And the realm of gossip is huge. It's a big deal in the church. Cynthia worked at a daycare in Minneapolis, and it was so rampant at that daycare that they had to come out with a policy and said, if you gossip and somebody checks you on it, you go home. You were punished. Gossip. That was in a secular setting. But it's that way, sad to say, even inside the church. We're allowing the world to influence us. Let's just say that you have a favorable opinion of your friend Joe. You like Joe. You're good buddies. You're friends. But now you go out and you're having a cup of coffee with George. And George knows Joe. And now George is going to fill you in on really what Joe is like. What is that? That's gossip. That's wrong. That's wrong. But yet it happens. So now you have to step back, and now you're in a pickle. Do you change your opinion about Joe just because George has a different opinion of Joe than you do? Do you take Joe and erase him from your address book, your contacts, and your phone? Do you change your thoughts and your opinions about him? Or do you say, well, that's just George? I would say the Christ-like thing to do is when George starts talking about Joe, say, hey, George, how's the weather outside? Change the conversation. Don't let him go there. Show him the better way. Do you change your thinking or thought just because you have a conversation, a third party speaks about somebody you know? In the realm of gossip, it's powerful. Gossip is the great destroyer of friendships. And God isn't pleased with that. God isn't pleased with that. If you want to talk to somebody directly, first person, second person. Restrain from bringing outside people into the conversation. That's gossip. So then, how should we speak? Okay, so we've spoken to the how not to speak, but how then should we speak? Well, man, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus chapter 5. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, have an attitude of prayer. Don't attack others with your words. Pray for them. Don't attack them with your words. Pray for them. Proverbs 20:19. How then should we talk? How should we have conversation? Avoid those people. As I mentioned just a little while ago, those that gossip, you know who they are. You probably have connections with people. Maybe it's you. Go look in the mirror. Ask yourself about the last conversation you had with somebody? Was it focused on somebody outside the realm of the conversation? Gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a person who talks too much. Avoid a person in conversation who is always talking about somebody else. Or do the Christ-like thing, and I'll say it again, direct the conversation back to a wholesome, God-pleasing conversation. Just think about it. If you're talking with somebody who's a talker, a gossiper, and you're having a conversation and maybe you're just laying yourself bare in front of them, what are they going to say about you to the next person they talk to? Don't get involved in those kinds of conversations. Help direct that conversation to a Christ-pleasing conversation. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. In essence, that passage of Scripture encourages us, it pleads with us as Christians, ambassadors of God our Heavenly Father, to clean up our language. Clean up your language. And this is big. The world is a big influencer in how we live. The world out there, the sinful world, is a big influencer in how we speak. So I'm going to make a couple of statements here today, and if you agree, you agree. If you don't, that's fine, but I just challenge you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I believe that what I'm going to say to you today is from Scripture, directed to me by the Holy Spirit. So the first couple of things I'm going to say are very, I would say, obvious. Jesus Christ is God's Son, not a point of exclamation. One of the Ten Commandments, right? So I would hope and I would pray that for us as people, just ambassadors, followers of Christ, that we would not take Jesus' name or God's name in vain, and we would use that as a piece of a conversation. Hell is a bad place for sinners, and only God can condemn somebody to hell. Okay, so don't think that you can condemn somebody by telling them to go to hell. It's just not going to work. All right? That's just revealing who you are in your heart. We, in the Christian realm, in the church realm, we again are being influenced by a world that uses the languages full of bad stuff. Right? You've been there. You've heard it. So we in the Christian world, we the ambassadors of God, step back and say, well, I'm not going to say that word, but how about if I soften it and say this word? Be careful. Be careful. Because the world knows what you really want to say, but you're not willing to say that word, so you try to soften it. I invite you to, those of you that have a computer, go home and look up this. It's called Urban Dictionary. Now, this is not some church people. This is the world, Urban Dictionary. And then think about your conversation. Think about the adjectives that you use and just type it in and see how the world interprets that word that you like to use. I've told you the story of when I was like fifth grade, maybe sixth grade. I got into the habit of saying geez a lot. You know, I'd playing ball with my brothers and family, and I missed a fly ball, and my dad was out there, and I said, oh, geez. And my dad just came down hard on me, and I didn't understand it. I didn't know what he was doing. And he said, you can't say that. You shouldn't say that. That's blasphemy. That's taking the name of Jesus in vain. I said, well, I didn't say Jesus. He said, I know you didn't, but you just abbreviated it, and now you think that that's soft, and you use that. Wow, did that totally correct my use of that word? No, but it was a real revealer to me about how in life we can say things that we are or soft. Oh, I can get by with that. But in the realm, what do I really want to say? And I'm going to encourage you again, this goes beyond the legalism. I don't want to get caught in that trap, because that Urban Dictionary is printed by the world. So this is how the world interprets what you say. There was a fisherman about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, fishing show. And whenever he would catch a fish, he would say, son, And he had set the hook and, "Son!" But that became a phrase in the youth group in our church in Minneapolis. You know, something exciting would happen and one of the boys, typically the boys, speaking one of their 7,000 words in the day, would say, "Son!" And I thought, what's the continuation of that phrase? Where did that come from? You got to be careful what you say. There is a new phrase, and it's new, but it's probably been around. I should have checked with Ethan and Evan, the older boys that are here today. A new phrase is, "What the..." Okay? "What the..." And they don't fill in the blank. You just say, "Oh, what the..." Well, if I don't say that blank word, is it okay that I use the words "what the"? No, it's not. Knock it off. And I've had that conversation with our grandsons. They're in the competitive sport world and in school, and they're, and you know, you guys back there, Skyler, all of you, Ellen, pray for our kids. Pray for our kids. Pray for each other. For when we say that little phrase, "what the..." What do we really want to say? How would you really fill in that word? That last word, which would make it a statement that you wouldn't say. But if you don't fill in the last, "Oh, it's okay, I can say that." No, the people that are in the world know what you really want to say, but you just don't have the backbone to say it. Okay? So we back up and say, "Oh, all is good." Well, there's a whole list of them. One that I'm going to bring up, and this is directly from the Urban Dictionary. And this is a phrase, or this is a word that's been around for maybe 15 plus years. Freaking. If you freak out about something, you know what that means. All right, you say, "Ooh, that was scary, that was crazy, that was whatever." But Google Urban Dictionary and just type in the word "freaking" and then see what the world says that you really want to say. And you'll never say that word again. The hearer of our conversation, the hearer of your words, may not know how you intend it. But they will run it through their filter. They will run it through their filter and how they interpret that word. And therefore, I believe God's word is instructing us to let your words be few. Let your words be good and kind, encouraging. Be careful of the slang that you use. When I was, I hear people sometimes, even as a pastor out in my chaplain work, I hear people say words that are inappropriate, I would never use. But I've often had the thought, and I have the thought, when I hear somebody use a lot of slang in their conversation, I think, well, they don't have a good grasp of the English language. They don't know good conversation. They don't know good adjectives. So they just throw in words that really aren't words to fill in the blank. I would say that Scripture would instruct us as Christians to clean it up, speak plainly, use words that everybody understands. Anyone can get down and dirty. Doesn't take much, right? But Christians, ambassadors for Christ, speak His language. Write that down. I don't think I put that in the back of your bulletin. But Christians, ambassadors, disciples of Jesus Christ, speak His language, not the language of the world. I ran around a little acrostic, and I don't have my bulletin with me, but I think I did put this on the back of your bulletin. It's that little acrostic, THINK. This is a good guideline. When you're speaking, is it true? Is what you're saying really true? Don't stretch the truth. Is it true? Speak the truth. Is what you're about to say or what you have just said, has it been helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it an inspiring conversation? Are you encouraging somebody to aspire to something that's even better and richer for them? The end, is it necessary? Again, evaluate your conversation. Is what I'm about to say really necessary piece of the conversation? And then thirdly, probably something that all of our mothers told us at some point in time in life, is it kind? If it isn't kind, then don't say it. Think before you speak. Out of a righteous person comes wisdom. Again, that's found in Proverbs. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listening is more important than speaking. The world says, well, just keep speaking. Control the conversation. Cut in, cut off. The Bible tells us to slow down and listen. Be slow to speak. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. It's a good word for us today. Again, it's from Genesis to Revelation. God is concerned about our mouths. He's concerned about the words that we speak. It is primarily how we as human beings communicate. James, in the first chapter of his letter, says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Give your tongue to God. Listen more. Speak less. It's a very good discipline to have. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in life. But yet we also know that in life and hearing a message, hearing God speak to you, there is no resolution until there's confession. So, how's your tongue? Anybody have a problem with their tongue? Do your conversations need to be sharpened up a little bit? We probably all could work on that a little bit. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Speak in complete sentences, men. Yes, dear, is okay, but maybe fill in the blank a little bit, okay? Give her a little more information. But in your conversations with each other, I pray for you, you pray for me, that our conversations will always be encouraging, building up, truthful, necessary, and kind. That's an ambassador of Christ. Anybody else can talk the other way, but the ambassadors of Jesus Christ will be known by our actions and our words, and let your words be true. I invite you to stand this morning. And as I close in prayer, if you need to pray a prayer of confession, yielding that sanctification process of God cleaning up your language, tell Him, hey, help me, Father. Talk to Him this morning and confess your need. And so, Father, we have heard from Your Word today about a very basic human element, the use of words in conversation. And we know that You are concerned about the words that we speak. And Jesus said that You are keeping track of all of our careless words. Wow. Father, help us to listen to ourselves in conversation. We yield to the power of Your Holy Spirit to correct us, as only You can do that. Help us to hold each other accountable. Help us to correct each other in conversation. And to say, hey, let's talk about something else. Let us speak truthfully to each other. Helpful, encouraging, kind words to each other. Let us be obedient to Your instruction. Thank You, Father, for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy You extend to us. And let us give it to each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing.